Yeah.
All right, there
There
we
you
go,
go.
recording. Hello there, guys. Welcome to episode 32 of Coffee Talk with Rob and Greg. I'm Rob.
I'm Greg. Hi, guys. Today, we thought we'd talk a little bit about what we've been up to and how we've been managing to cope in this environment, because obviously, you know, we've all got different ways of dealing with things. And
in the interest of sort of sticking to the government recommendations, we thought to be on the safe side, instead of us usually recording together like we would use the modern technology of Zoom like we do with our guests to record this together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is with this, this is a good example actually of Rob and I being able to use Zoom, which is free, and a lot of people are starting to use it now. To be able to have meetings, webinars, you know, get-togethers and still be able to do work, right, Rob?
I'm really wishing that back in January when Zoom's stock price was relatively low that I'd bought a few shares, because they're one of the only companies where their stock price has literally skyrocketed because of everybody having to use Zoom to do video conferencing and remote working.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, a lot of people used to use GoToWebinar and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very expensive and you don't really need it, you know, to record stuff. And, you know, I've actually created an online course using Zoom. So because you can record any screen, can't you? You can record each other or whatever you want to share.
Yeah.
So that's another tip for you guys, is if you've always wanted to get that course that you're passionate about creating, then you can use something called Thinkific, which I've used as a free platform. And just build in your sessions and you know, try and keep it fun and interactive. And
the positive to this whole situation with the coronavirus or COVID-19 is that we've been given the gift of time. Like, you know, it's had an impact on my business. I won't lie, and that the gyms have obviously been closed down because Boris Johnson said that they had to. But, you know, I was sort of planning for this eventuality when I sort of noticed it was starting to kick off a bit in the UK and we had a few cases and it was starting to rapidly escalate. I was like, okay, what can I do in the eventuality that my gym closes? The first thing I looked at is, will I be covered by my insurer? And the answer to that is no. The only way, like, right, so in this situation, if I broke my leg, my insurer, they would pay me. But because of a disease... a viral disease, it's considered an act of God, so they won't pay out for loss of earnings. So that option was a no. So I was thinking, like, how can I continue? There was a lot of chat in a few of the PT groups I'm in about the idea of doing virtual sessions. So basically using something like Zoom, Google Hangouts, or even just getting the client to, like, FaceTime you on WhatsApp or Messenger and basically delivering the session over there, which is an option I came up with. Luckily, I also, you know, have a few online elements of my business anyway. Like, I have software that I deliver clients programming over. So I made sure to assign every single client, you know, home workouts that they can do. The second thing is I have a Facebook group. So I said to my, I did a post on there. I was like, right, guys, okay, for the time being, the gyms are open. And this is what the gym is doing to sort of make it cleaner and make it safer for you guys. But in the eventuality that they do close, because I'm predicting that this will happen, in the next few weeks, this is what our contingency plan is. So it was the Zoom sessions. It was basically me going on a live and doing a workout that they follow along to. So I came up with a couple of solutions and basically it's allowed me to kind of create more content. You know, I wanted to transition more into the online stuff anyway. So, and I was talking about doing this by the end of this year, and this has kind of fast tracked it and brought it forward a bit, you know. Yeah. So
that's an interesting point, because it's almost like what you're forced to do through necessity can make you pivot and change what you're doing, and actually be sometimes a good thing, because, you know, you've recorded those sessions, you could potentially use things like that in courses, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was slightly ahead of the curve because I already had systems in place, like a Facebook group, and I already had the software. Whereas all of my colleagues, I said to them, I said, like, right, guys, this, I can see this is going to escalate. Make sure you have a contingency plan. And they were sort of laughing it off and, like, not believing me. And then the day that Boris Johnson went on the news and was like, okay, guys, you need to avoid large social gatherings. You shouldn't be going to places like the pub and you should only leave when necessary. Like, this was before it was actually a proper lockdown. They were getting cancellations left, right and center. Whereas touch wood so far, every single client has stuck with me purely because I was communicating to them, this is what we're going to do, guys. This is right. this is how we're going to get through this, and this is how I'm going to support you.
Mm. So that's another great point there, Rob, that communication is the absolute key in this time, because we haven't got the luxury of being face-to-face with people. So we have to leverage video and keep people in contact with what our intentions are, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, for my business, I've got a blog and a course and coaching, which I use this for anyway. But also autoresponders, you know, like you and I both use MailChimp. You know, even if you've got a bakery or something like that and people can't come into it at the moment, you could still be sending them emails saying about what you're going to
basically people are spending, like all the marketers that I'm speaking to are saying, do not cut back on your marketing now, particularly your marketing budget, because now is the time more than ever to be marketing, because especially online, people are going to be spending more and more time on their phones looking at, you know, social media, looking at content. They're looking for things to keep them occupied while they're sat at home. So, you know,
that's right.
And a lot of marketers are taking advantage of the fact that ad cost is significantly reduced at the moment because less people are buying ads because of the fact that there's that instability around what's happening with the economy.
Well, looking at, I look at the business news every day and stuff, and they were saying that e-commerce has actually gone down for some strange reason. I don't know why. But then there's other businesses that are increasing, of course, because, you know, they're needed. So, you know, it's quite an interesting psychological time at the moment, the way people are behaving, isn't it? And what they're doing to stay occupied and so on and so forth. And certainly for me, if I create content which is keyword rich and SEO rich and specific and targeted, I can essentially share the content I've written in my blogs and my videos and share them everywhere and get people looking at it. And then that drives to my courses and my offers and my ebooks and stuff. So, you know, that's something I do anyway, and the coaching I do anyway. So, you know, what I would say to people out there is if you're stuck and you're not sure what you really want to do in your life, and there's no guarantees going forward what we're going to be able to do. So, you know, you may want to start looking at something which is totally different to what you've done before, working at home, working from home, doing what Rob and I are doing.
I must admit, I've found it a little bit hard to adjust to working from home because, I don't have that structure anymore. Like my day basically revolved around leaving my house, going to a building called the gym. And then that's what my structure revolved around. So I'd have clients there. And when I didn't have clients, I'd sort of be spending my time there, like doing my admin or you know, looking to prospect and pick up new clients. Whereas now I haven't got that routine. I'm like, I'm trying to have some sense of routine in that I'll set like a to-do list. Like today, on the days where I've booked things in like this, it's good because it gives me that structure. It gives me a reason to kind of get out of bed. First thing in the morning, I'm like, well, I haven't got a client booked in. I don't really have a reason to get up early. So I've kind of become a bit lazy. So I'm trying to be good and like give myself to-do lists and things to do. But I'm still finding it hard because I'm not used to working at home, you know, which I think is what many people are struggling with.
Whereas I am, and I know that from reading a lot of books on this kind of stuff as well, it's helped me to implement doing things right, you know, working on the number one task that you got to work on and planning it the night before and making sure that you put in an hour to each specific area or whatever time schedule you can until it's completed, or you lose focus easily, you know, because if you haven't got a boss telling you what to do or a team around you saying, Greg, do this, do that, you're going to go, actually, I'll just grab another coffee or whatever. But you've got to remember that it's so easy to start to lose focus. And that's why I believe that you've got to have a structure at home just as much as you have anywhere else.
This
you know?
Is why I've been trying to like kind of wear what I normally would for work as well, rather than just putting like jeans and a t-shirt on. Because if I put like jeans and a t-shirt on, it kind of feels like it's a weekend basically. So I'm like, well, I don't work weekends, so...
That is absolutely it, is if you psychologically feel relaxed in your pajamas, you might be less likely to focus on stuff. And it does make me feel different if I'm dressed for business, even if I'm not going anywhere. It really does help.
I did contemplate still putting on my work uniform. I'm like, this is the first time where I'm not having to promote a company that I'm like, I use their gym. I rent their gym, basically. But this is the first time I can brand myself as me.
Yeah.
So I need to take advantage of that.
I think that's it. It's basically, like as we said, it's touching on leveraging what we've got. And I know that a lot of people are speaking to me at the moment about micro businesses. How can I start one? And there are so many different ways you can start a business online.
Yeah,
and I've just written an article about affiliate marketing, which a lot of people have heard about.
I started doing that. So one of the things that I was like, right, I'm going to get asked a lot about what home workout equipment should I buy. So I signed up to Amazon Associates, which is their affiliate program.
Yeah.
And I searched for the basically the bands that I use, kettlebells and like a cheap TRX type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I created a link for that, and I basically sent that to clients. I said, look, this is what I want. So if they went on and bought that, I'd get a share of whatever it is that they bought, basically. And the good thing about Amazon affiliates is, even if they don't buy the thing you've linked to, if they then go on Amazon through your link and search for anything else and buy that, you still get a percentage of that because you've sent the traffic to them.
Absolutely
so
right,
I did that. I also created a blog talking about how to train at home, and I included links in the blog to these are the, these are some of the products I would recommend. And believe it or not, people are clicking on it. I don't think the conversion rate's that high, but people are still clicking on it, which is good.
This is it, you know.
And then
outside the box, isn't
that
it?
Blog I then recreated into an email to my list. So again, I've repurposed that content. And probably what I'll do too is create a YouTube video also talking about that same topic. So that's what, three pieces of content from one topic?
From one topic. And all of those pieces of content can work for you to drive traffic to a sale. You know, it's like with affiliate marketing. You can sell low end at the front, like an ebook or something for $3, $7. You can start building an income at the front end when people opt in. And then at the back end, they might buy a high ticket program from you. It might not even be yours. It might be someone else's.
That's another thing. Speaking of ebooks.
Yes.
I basically have started to try and promote sales of that again, because again, that's another way I can, it's relatively low cost. So if people aren't earning necessarily as much as they used to, they can still support me in some way. So I've kind of been trying to drive traffic to that. And I, because obviously Amazon take a percentage, I created like my own sort of landing page where if people buy through that landing page, besides the chunk that PayPal take, it goes directly to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, this is it, isn't it? You can find ways and be creative, and we are naturally creative beings. So, you know, when, as we were saying before, when you're forced to change, and as Rob and I know about pivoting, you have to sometimes pivot what you're doing, change the business model.
Yeah.
Like a business in America that had a very successful restaurant, a very good reputation, very good food. They basically started setting up pop-up drive-by collection points, where people can still buy their food, so they don't have to be, connected to the people.
It's like I've noticed lots of little restaurants and pubs and things that wouldn't normally do takeaway.
Right.
They're now appearing on things like Deliveroo and Just Eat so that they can survive.
Yeah.
Like my industry is a big example of how we've had to pivot. Like this has sort of had a massive effect because all the gyms have been closed. So by government order, which I can never think of a time where that's happened. Like this has never happened before. Yeah. I was talking about the gyms and how like it's kind of been thrust upon us where the gyms have closed, and like, I couldn't think of a time where that's ever happened before. And essentially every single gym is now having to kind of move their business model online. So the main thing that the majority of us have done is we've kind of taken what we would do in person online by using things like Zoom to do classes, PT sessions, you know, basically running our normal business, but over a video call. Other people are doing things like, using Facebook groups and doing live workouts and charging like a small to have members, do get access to workouts, using software. There's different business models that basically people are moving to. But the thing is, people are having to do it quite quick. And the problem now is that because everybody's doing it, you've got to kind of find some way to, in the same way that you have to have your niche offline, you've now got to find a way to have your niche online. So because literally everybody is doing Zoom workouts, you've got to kind of find some way of making that unique and
differentiation.
Same with like different ebooks. Like you can't just do like a how to lose weight ebook. It's got to be like specific.
Exactly right. Yeah, and actually to get market share and to actually sell any books, it's got to have a different edge to it, hasn't it? And that's, you know, like you were saying about content, I think it's so important at the moment, because no matter what type of business you're in, you can still do something useful at home if you can manage to have structure to your day. You've got to adjust. And actually, you may be someone who's an employee, but the employee of a mentality is different to an employee of an entrepreneur, you know?
Yeah,
so you've got to also learn to change how you think in regard to if you're going to put something together. Because if you've got an employee mindset, you might just do a few hours a day, go, right, that's it, I'm done. But if you actually want to build something new, a business that could take you forward and change your whole life in a year or so, you've really got to put the time and effort in now, haven't you? And,
I mean, this is the thing. Like, we have time on our hands now, which is sort of, who knows how long this is going to last. So that content you've been putting off writing, that business you've been putting off starting, that, you know, that podcast that you've been sort of talking about that haven't done, now's the time to do it. You know, you may as well make use of the time, which is why I've been sort of trying to, if I haven't got any sessions booked in for that day, I've been trying to focus on creating content and doing things to kind of basically keep visible. Because coming out the other side of this, what I can see happening in my industry is that, you know, where people have been sat at home all day, they're probably going to put on a bit of weight. Where there's been this global crisis of health crisis, and all the experts are basically saying, look, if you are more active, if you have a healthier diet, you know, the chances of you getting it are reduced, and it, your immune system will be stronger. So because of that, people are certainly going to value their health much more. So I think off the back of this, there's going to be a massive boom in my industry, whereas other industries, particularly financial ones, I think are going to sort of struggle.
Right. No, I agree with you, actually. And that's the exact reason why we've got to start looking ahead and thinking about what the strategy is going to be. Now, there's a lot of people, hopefully you're watching this, who might be thinking, well, what could I do differently? And what I say is, if you've got something like a habit, a hobby or a passion or an idea that you've always wanted to work on, it could become a micro business, for example, like bicycle repairs, computer services, sewing, crafts, family recipes, photography, anything that you've already done that you find fun. You want to start looking at people who are doing that professionally as a business and seeing what they're doing. Subscribe to their lists. Look at their brand. Look at how they sell to you. Look at the brands that you trust, you know, and start to figure out a plan for putting it together, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the way to do it, really, is to look at your choices that you're making and realize that everything was once an idea, wasn't it, Rob? I mean, you look at, I just finished watching a documentary on Netflix about the lion, not Lion King, the Tiger King, you know?
I need to go watch this because it's like all over social media. You can't like go on Facebook or even Instagram without seeing some kind of meme or someone posting about this thing. I need to go watch it because I've heard it's a bit crazy.
It is. It's almost surreal. Like, you can't believe that it's actually real, like someone's life, but you know, or people's lives, should I say. But the thing is, you know, this kind of entertainment is huge, you know? And so we can also learn from that. What entertains people?
Yeah.
What makes them laugh? What makes them cry? And see how they react?
This is another business where they're probably going to be doing quite well at the moment. Like all of these streaming services, people, because they're sat at home and they need something to keep them occupied, Netflix is going to be doing a lot of sales. Disney Plus just launched in the UK, and I bet they couldn't have launched it at a better time. You know, people are sat at home.
Right.
They're going to want stuff to binge watch.
And that comes back to the timing thing. It's like with all business, you know, you've got to really time things right and not go into something which is either oversaturated or irrelevant, you know?
Yeah. And I really feel for PTs that have literally just started out in the industry and this has happened. Like, especially as like they have no choice but to go online. But I personally, my view of online has been you should always start out as an in-person coach first and learn how to coach people before even considering going online. Like, I don't think I started doing any online kind of stuff until sort of maybe a year or 2 years into being a PT. It was only sort of when I got a few friends, like, that were asking me, oh, could you write me a program or could you do this? Like, that I started to think, okay, maybe I should come up with some kind of product or something I can offer to people that they're like, oh yeah, could you write this or could you do this for me? Could you help me with that? So
But
unfortunately, these people, they've got no choice now but to go online. And I think the problem is that the PT courses nowadays, they just rush people through, and they're not as extensive as my PT course was like 5-6 years ago now. And we did quite an extensive course, whereas now I think they seem to rush people through. Most of them seem to only be online now. They don't seem to have that in-person element, which I think is necessary. So it's churning out, quite frankly, shite coaches.
Well, this is it. And actually, we covered that before, didn't we?
Yeah.
But the thing being is that people prefer to be motivated by people. It's as simple as that. And if you're in a situation now where you're listening to Rob and I and you're thinking, well, maybe I want to start a business, then really you do need a business plan so that you know moving forward what your strategy is going to be. Yeah. And if you need to get lenders involved or investors, what your strategies are going to be, your outlines, your objectives, your forecast costs and all that kind of stuff. Even if it's a small business and you're getting ideas from what Rob and I are saying, you still need to really get down a core plan to work from. And what I would say is if you've got teams, guys, who you all usually work with, try to stay in contact with your teams and try to keep them motivated, you know, because even if you have a small meeting in the morning using Zoom just to see how they're getting on and caring about them, it's going to help them to feel good about what they're doing, and they're going to want to help you back. It's a reciprocity law, isn't it?
Make them feel like the company still cares about them as well, to an extent. Like,
that's it.
We've been having meetings, like video call meetings each week with the managers of our gym, just basically so they can keep in touch, see how we're doing. They're also doing things like where they'll just call us to see how we're doing, which I am wondering now, because the managers have been, they've been furloughed, and for the partially employed part of my job that I do with Pure Gym as well, they've furloughed us, which is good, because that means money.
we get some
money, not a lot, but because it's only the equivalent of 12 hours a week work, but, you know, it's better than nothing.
How's that impacted on your spending?
I'm not saying I can't get clients. I just feel like it's going to be much harder. So to an extent, I'd started to cut down on my spending anyway, but I've had to purchase a few things. Like, for example, I paid for Calendly premium so that I was able to create like a booking system for clients to be able to book in for like online sessions with me. So there was that outlay I had. There's also a couple of other little things. I think I purchased some more resistance bands and things like that. I basically got spare so that clients who want to train at home and can do and can still to an extent replicate what we do at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I will say I am certainly sort of trying to be more careful with money and things like that. So,
and I think a lot of people are forced to be more aware of what they're doing, because, you know, we aimlessly spend stuff, and when stuff's on offer, we can just go, oh, I want this, that, and the other.
Touch wood, like, I've been lucky, but usually when people need to cut money, because I'm considered a luxury, I'm one of the first things they get rid of. I wish it wasn't that way, but the reality is that's the case. But luckily, touch wood, because I think most of my clients are in jobs where, you know, they can work from home and their employers offered to pay for them, or they're considered a key worker. Like one of my clients works in a supermarket, and obviously he's considered a key worker, so he's still able to go into work. They've mostly sort of stuck by me. However, what I have said is if it sort of their work circumstance changes or they, you know, they're not able to, you know, work for some reason, stay in my Facebook group, keep your access to the software that I use. And then just when we come out the other side of this, you know, just start back properly again then, because I'd rather help people when they need me and retain them, so that when we get out of this on the other side, you know, they'll see that I've helped them and stuck by them, and they'll come back to me, they'll pay it forward, you know.
And there you go. It's a key word you mentioned, which is retaining. And that's another thing we want, is the people that we've been in business with and work with and, you know, have trusted us. If we can try and retain those people and that's going to help us in the long run.
Well, and also, I even reached out to like old clients, and I was like, look, you know, I know the gym's closed and you used to work with me. Do you want to come back in and join the group for a bit? And like some of them said, oh yeah, yeah. When we come out the other side of this, I'm going to join back up again, you know? So I basically was a little bit smart there in offering them some help again. So
good. So anybody that's watching this, we hope that this is helping you guys to see, what not only what we're doing, but what you may want to do or what might help you in this time where there's a lot of uncertainty. And really, when there's uncertainty, we have to be direct in what we do. And we have to start to think of our options, don't we?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it'd be a good idea to talk about what we've kind of done to survive, really, and how we pivoted. I mean, you're quite lucky that your business has pretty much been 100% online anyway. So, whereas me, although I had online elements and I had some of the systems in place, I've kind of had to make it 100% online. I think coming out the other side of this, I probably will keep the option to have a Zoom call as a thing, but as a more premium price, because it's not really a very scalable thing. And it you know, again, traded time for money, and then have like a sort of sliding scale of, you know, here's like a personalized program and a check-in call. Here's like a group type of one, you know, so it has made me think about, okay, how could I do this as a business model going forwards? Because I feel it's made me realize that how reliant I am on the gym with my in-person stuff. So whereas an online thing, I think there's a bit more future-proofing to an extent. I mean, obviously it does impact you if the people that you're working with rely on there being a gym. However, if you offer like home workouts and things like that anyway, and educate people on how the basic principles of training, like they should be able to just go home and be like, okay, right, I know now how to do a workout at home. I don't necessarily need the gym.
And the thing is, we know we're in a time where people can just press a button and buy something, right? Yeah. Now, whether they press a button and buy something and use that thing, that's a different thing. Mm. But a lot of people will pay for subscriptions that they just forget about. So one thing I learned is when I was doing coaching one-on-one is you can do group coaching. So I can coach eight or nine people at the same time, leverage my time, and earn maximum revenue from that. But also on top of that, many other people can do this as well, no matter what niche you're in.
Yeah. I mean, the model that a lot of the gyms, when I say gyms, I mean like the private gyms, not like the sort of big chain type of gyms. I mean like the independent ones. They use group training as their model, whereby you sort of pay and you go along and you do group sessions rather than one-to-one, because that's a more scalable, more profitable model for the gyms.
Whereas
sort of the big guys like Pure Gym, their model is high volume of people, but relying on the fact that a certain number will not turn up. Because you imagine, like my gym has like 5,000 odd members. Well, it did. It did have 5,000 odd members. Can you imagine if all of those people turn up at once? Like how overcrowded that would be?
Unbelievable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one of the things that we had to do when Corona was sort of starting to get a bit serious, we had to limit the number of people that were coming in. So if it got close to 100, we had to turn people away.
Okay. So there is basically a max limit in there, isn't there, for resources?
Well, I don't know how they calculated, but they calculated it that 100 people was the max they could have in and still enforce the social distancing of 2 meters.
Wow. So I hope you find this interesting, guys. Now, I want to go back to what we were saying about automation for a second, because when I was saying to Rob about doing one-on-one coaching and then group coaching, I went then from that to creating courses and realizing that, hang on a minute, I can get people to buy stuff from me, or I can do videos, whatever it is, PowerPoints, you know, sharing my screen.
So you do the work once, but continuously make money from it.
Exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, whatever resources you use and put into that at the beginning is well worth it, because once you got that right, you can then bang it out there and direct it to the right targeted audience. But one thing I will say is make sure you've done your research first. Make sure you know exactly who those people are going to want what you have to offer, because you can spend a lot of time creating something which no one wants or buys, you know? So make sure that you are different to other people. Make sure that you're unique, and make sure that you promote it enough that these people's eyes who want it, when they type that into Google, how can I buy a course on XYZ? And if you look at Udemy or Udemy, you'll see lots of courses on there for about 29 quid, 19 quid. Some are about 100 quid. So that can give you a great idea of what courses are selling out there and what you could create in your own expert area, experiences, niche, ideas, passions, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Rob and I probably should start wrapping this up soon, and we could do another one moving forward if people would like us to.
Yeah, and I think we should probably try and see if we could still get guests, because one of the things I'm trying to do now to stay visible is I'm trying to appear on podcasts as well as creating my own ones. Like I've got an interview lined up today, and I've got another one lined up later this week on other people's podcasts.
Good.
And this is the thing, right? Because I've got so much more time, I've got time to do that, and I've got time to you know, focus on creating content and being visible. Because the PTs are just sitting back and taking it as a holiday. Coming out the other side of this are the ones that are going to struggle, whereas PTs have remained visible throughout this are the ones that people are going to see as an authority, and they're going to go to them.
Rob, that's good thinking, pal. Good thinking. Yeah. And we all need to be visible, and we need to always keep pushing forward, because if you just get complacent and say, well, I'll wait for this storm to pass, you know,
yeah,
it's not necessarily going to pass anytime soon. It could be 6 months, you know what I mean? And
I've heard, like, I reckon personally the lockdown will last for around sort of 3 to 4 months. And then what I think will happen is that we'll probably still be sort of feeling the effects of this well into early next year.
Yeah. I mean, everything has a knock on effect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
to end on a positive note, I was actually watching this really good video, like this morning and a bit last night, by this YouTube channel, Cold Fusion. And they were sort of looking at like the coronavirus outbreak and talking about the different things that have been happening and the responses. Mm. But what they did talk about was there's sort of various different drugs that are being trialed and looked at that have shown promise with treating corona. So, one of them was sort of like it currently gets used to things like malaria, but they've sort of trialed it and they've shown that it can help with SARS, which is, I believe, what effectively COVID is a form of SARS.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of other drugs they're looking at as well. And I did read somewhere, actually, that they've been using vitamin C to help alleviate some of the symptoms of COVID.
Okay.
Because there's some research that says that vitamin C can help with preventing like cold and flu.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't necessarily been tested properly on COVID yet. But I did read that in a couple of they've been actually testing using vitamin C to help treat COVID patients.
I think the thing is, as well, is people have got to be careful, haven't they? What they look at and believe is real. It's like, keep an open mind. I mean, some people are saying vitamin D from the sun. COVID hates the sun, and keep drinking fluids, drink warm water, and gargle with salt.
I thought, when the weather gets warmer, it will just go. But if you look at it, there's hot countries like Spain and Italy. Oh.
Right.
Where they've got outbreaks of corona. So obviously it, the warmer weather doesn't necessarily kill it.
And it's concerning about America, because that's just spreading, you know, aggressively.
Well, that's because, not to get too political, but that's because of Trump.
Well, I didn't want to say, but yeah, you're right.
He's an idiot. And one of the drugs I was looking at, I can't remember the name of it because it's quite difficult to pronounce. Chloris something or other. Basically he started talking about, we're going to use this drug, we've given approval to the FDA, and then everyone started going out and stockpiling the drugs. It's like, great, now the people that actually need this drug can't get access to it.
Typical, isn't it? It's like that panic rush fear projection and someone talking about stuff that they don't know what they're talking about. It's caused a lot of confusion and a lot of problems. And
I'd end it on that positive note, in that there is treatments that are being looked at, and some of them in the trials that they've done,
absolutely,
to actually have positive effects, and so it could potentially be a solution. But they haven't sort of found a definite cure vaccine yet. They have found a couple of things that have been shown to have positive effects.
I
would say, we will probably have some form of solution to this soon, I reckon. It'll be a few months yet, because obviously they have to do the trials and then they have to get approval, etc. But, you know.
Well, actually, my missus is leading the front line in the South Mead with other people who are working hard and not getting time off. So, you know, I get to learn about some of the latest things that are going on, which are not commercially known. So
I hear bits and pieces as well, because my housemate works as a surgeon there, so he hears about some of the things that are happening. And he has quite good medical knowledge anyway.
Good. If you need Rob or I's or mine's help at any point, you know, obviously I do small business coaching and we're pivoting micro business strategy, support, guidance. Rob is a fitness expert in his niche.
And I've been pivoting now to become an expert on home training.
Right. Yeah. And you look at what the fitness, what's his name? The body coach is doing. He's raised 100 grand for the NHS, hasn't he?
You know, I'm skeptical. Like, he said, oh yeah, I'm donating the profits to the NHS.
Not all of them, I doubt.
I think what happened is someone had realized he's got ads on these videos, he's going to be making money from this.
Oh yeah.
And called him out on it. So then his PR team were like, right, you need to go out and say you're going to donate this money to the NHS. But
I'm
just being skeptical. I think it's just, this is probably a selfish point, because I'm getting annoyed at the fact that people are going and looking at his stuff instead of supporting local people like me, which is my advice. Like, he's got a lot of money and he's being smart, because I have no doubt off the back of all of this he'll release a paid program, which will be like, absolutely, I don't know, get fit at home.
It's like, all strategy.
Lean in, you know, 15 home workouts, you know. So
it's all strategy, mate. You know?
It's good. He's getting a lot of publicity from it, and I have no doubt that there'll be a product coming from him. But
what Rob's really saying
about
as well is, you
know, supporting a local PT who, you know their gym has closed down, their source of income might potentially not be there anymore. They might not be as smart as me in terms of getting stuff online. But think about, like, supporting your local PT instead of someone who is a multi-millionaire.
And support your local businesses in general, you know. If your bakery is delivering stuff, get stuff from them. If your local business coach wants to help and support you, hire them. Mm. If your local, you know, flower seller is doing stuff, try to keep things moving in your community as much as you can.
Yeah. And I've seen lots of good stuff from local businesses in Bristol as well, like... I saw a good article on LinkedIn, which I might try and link, that was about all the things that Bristol businesses are doing to support people.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good to...
Included in there with a link to my YouTube channel with some of the free workouts I've been putting out on there.
That'll be cool. Yeah.
All right. Well.
And I'm just every day with... the latest information and advice. I'll speak to you soon then, Rob, and I look forward to getting this up and running.
Definitely. Thank you very much for tuning into the podcast. Guys, don't forget to subscribe to get the latest one delivered straight to your favorite podcast platform. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, basically every single podcast platform you can think of, we're on there. And it'd also be really great if you could leave us a review on that platform as well, because that will help us to be discovered by more people.
Grateful for your support, guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much. We'll be back soon with another episode.